Soundstripe. Soundstripe.
More with the More Wine and Music podcast, the podcast where we talk about the history of American music over a glass of wine. I want to welcome everybody to the second episode of the More Wine and Music podcast. I'm excited and I hope everybody will continue to stay tuned and subscribe to the podcast. I wanted to remind everyone that this season is about the genre of the blues, and we'll be talking about the earlier artists that helped shape and create what the sounds of blues today. Last week's episode was about the father of blues, W.C. Handy, and if you haven't listened to that, I would recommend you go back and listen to the story about W.C. Handy and how he discovered the sound of blues. Okay. Since this is a more wine and music type of podcast, I'm going to tell you what type of wine that I'm drinking right now. Right now, it's just the table wine of Sangria by Carlo Rossi. That's one of my favorites. I mean, it's not nothing as far as. I don't know how to describe it. It's just something like an everyday wine. I mean, it's nothing special about it. Does have the sangria. I like the sangria flavor. I find myself liking more of the red wine. I like white wine as well. But I'm a kind of a sweet wine drinker. I know a lot of people may not like that, but I am. I like sweet flavor. Either that or semi-sweet. So I'm kind of sticking to the reds. So that's what I'm drinking right now, slowly. All right. This week, episode number 2 is about Blind Lemon Jefferson. He is one of the earlier artists of the blues genre. So I decided to speak about Blind Lemon Jefferson. Blind Lemon Jefferson was born Lemon Henry Jefferson. He was born on a farm near Freestone County, Texas. As it was most common back then, he was the census. He was born around, 1893. The birth date was shown as September 24th of 1893. However, Blind Lemon himself states that he was born actually on October 26th of 1894, when filling out the World War I draft card. And, you know, everybody who knows history knows that census takers back then, a lot of the information was not accurate, especially for those census takers who were getting information from African-American household. Birth dates were off. The spelling of names were off. So, you know, it's up to debate as to what's his really true birth date. He was born to the parents of Alec and Clarissy Banks Jefferson. He was blind at birth, according to some sources that I have was looking into his background. But then there was also a question whether he had sight at one point and became blind, but I think he was born blind. There is little known about his early life. The records doesn't say too much about, you know, him as a kid, but as far as his influence in music, it was known that during the young years of where he was, and because he lived in Texas, east part of Texas, so it's probably figured that his inspiration into becoming a musician was based on artists like Henry, quote, Ragtime Texas, unquote, Thomas, and, quote, Texas, unquote, Alexander, who was around about the time in his area of where he was growing up, and they were performing. So perhaps maybe he got the blues bug then. Maybe he got inspired by those type of artists at that time to further or became interested in music. Once he started playing and was playing pretty well, people started to notice him because he had a unique style of his music. First of all, his voice, he had a high pitch, 2-octave voice range. So that was unusual for a young man to have a high falsetto voice. And so that gained a lot of attention of when he started playing music. And also his ability to write lyrics that displays a range of motion. You know, blues was basically sad, you know, the long dragons, you know, sad, you know, talking about the hardship of what most African Americans were dealing at the time, you know, being in that cotton field day in and day out, and just the moan and groan of slave labor. But Blind Lemon Jefferson's type of music and lyrics, you know, it was a range of different types of emotions, of being sad to happy, to being funny, to being ironic or poignant. So that was, up until that point, that was kind of different in the blues genre. While as a teenager, he left home in his county of where he came from, in Freestone County in Texas, and he eventually made his way to Dallas. And he began to perform around 1912 in that area. And it was there that he eventually played with Huey Ledbetter, a.k.a. Leadbelly. And if anybody who is a fan of the show, the comedy show back in the day, Sanford and Son, there was an episode that kind of parodied Blind Lemon Jefferson by the mentioning of Leadbelly. But he was at that character, in that specific episode, it was Blind Mellow Jelly. But it was, you know, loosely parodied from Blind Lemon Jefferson. Well, anyway, Leadbelly and Jefferson became music partners and would play in the Dallas area. Usually people would say that could find Blind Lemon Jefferson playing around the area of Elm Street and Central Avenue in Dallas. So if anybody who's from the Dallas area may know where that is, and that, you know, people can, you know, he would play there every day pretty much. And according to the 1920 census, it was shown that he was staying with his half brother in Freestone County, Texas, even though he was playing, you know, frequently in Dallas. he was still staying in Freestone County, his home county, but he was staying with his half brother and his brother's family in 1920. Also, it was in 1920 that Blind Lemon Jefferson met a lady named Roberta Ransom. Miss Roberta was 10 years older than Jefferson. And they eventually married in 1927. In 1925, a representative from Paramount Recording Company somehow got wind of Blind Lemon Jefferson and his music. And they came down to Texas to hear him and offer him a record deal. This company was out of Chicago. So they came from Chicago, a representative from Chicago, came to Texas, found Blind Lemon Jefferson, and wanted to record his music. And with that, being associated with Paramount Recording Company, Blind Lemon Jefferson was considered to be the first, one of the first blues artists to gain national attention. Even though he was not the first to record commercially, he was the first to gain more a wide audience from his music. He also, during that time, recorded two spiritual songs, which were "I Want to Be Like Jesus in My Heart" and "All I Want Is That Pure Religion." And when he recorded those two spiritual songs, he recorded under the pseudonym, the name of Deacon L.J. Bates, which, you know, I would, you know, obviously it would Deacon L.J. mean Lemon Jefferson Bates. He recorded under that name. So he recorded with Paramount, the company, for, it looks like, 3 years, from 1926 to 1929. While he was in Chicago in 1929, Blind Lemon Jefferson died. Now, there's a kind of controversy in the mystery of how he actually died. Some say that he had a heart attack on the streets of Chicago. And, you know, in December, Chicago was, you know, cold. And the exact date was December 19th of 1929. And he was found dead on the streets of Chicago and probably died of exposure. But the death certificate, his death certificate says, quote, probably acute myocarditis, which is, I hope I'm pronouncing that right, those in the healthcare industry, forgive me, which I can, you know, assess that it is an acute acute heart condition, which is probably a heart attack. And then it seemed like I heard somewhere else that he was attacked. I don't know if he was, I think he was robbed or something, and they beat him to death. That's, I heard that somewhere. I'm not sure, you know, reading in different accounts about his life, I've heard that too. But, you know, it more than likely, maybe it was more of that he had a heart attack and he died from exposure. So it seems like he was just, somebody just found him on the streets, and he must have been there lying on the streets for a while and, you know, was froze to death. It doesn't say, I couldn't find any kind of information about his married life, whether he had children or not. I don't know. So, I mean, it would be interesting to see if he did have children. I know he had descendants of relatives because he came from a family of, I think he was like 13. There's like 13 siblings, maybe a little more than that, 13 siblings. So he came from a large family. And whether he had children, you know, during that short time of being married, because he got married in 27, he died in 1929. So it was only 2 years of marriage. But I don't know whether he had children or not. But anyway, Blind Leonard Jefferson's music and his style was a major influence for musicians like Sam Lightning Hopkins, Louis Armstrong, Bessie Smith, Jefferson Airplane, Bob Dylan, and a host of others. The songs of Jefferson, such as Matchbox Blues, See That My Grave Is Kept Clean, That Black Snake Moan, among others, were reissued by Document Records. He is buried at the Wortham Negro Cemetery in Wortham, Texas. And I'm willing to bet, I'm just guessing. I'm wondering if that name is still that same name of that cemetery, Wortham Negro Cemetery. His grave was unmarked from 1929 up until 1967. In 1967, fans of his got together and at least paid for a headstone. In 1997, citizens of Wortham, Texas, decided to upgrade his headstone, and he made it into a nice granite style headstone. And in that headstone is inscribed two lyrics of two of his songs. It's inscribed as, quote, "Lord, it's one kind favor I'll ask of you," unquote, and quote, which is appropriate, "See that my grave is kept clean," unquote. And every year in the city of or in the town of Wortham, they host a blues festival in his honor. And he was inducted into the Blues Foundation Hall of Fame in 1980. So early blues artists like Blind Lemon Jefferson, with his music style, is another piece of the American music fabric that has made the blues genre history. So that is this story of Blind Lemon Jefferson. It, you know, artists like that, they don't have like a long, there's not a long documentation of history, because, you know, one, either they die young, which is most, you know, most of the time they die young, and no one kept really good records of them as far as their career. So, I mean, you know, it's a short but interesting history about, you know, these artists. And, you know, when you find and read this stuff, it's very interesting, because it takes you back into that time. So you can imagine what they went through and, you know, how much of a contribution they made to the American music. So that was that. So I got most of my sources from the Texas State Historical Association gravesite, which is interesting because if you go on bluesdfw.com, you will see a small little blurb about him, but they show pictures of his gravesite and those who got together and made his gravesite more presentable with the granite headstone. So that's an interesting, those are interesting pictures. And also I received a little bit of information from No Depression, and that's nodepression.com. I'll put all these sources in my show notes. And the name of that article was The Journal of Roots of Music, which is Juan Lemon Jefferson, His Life, His Death, and His Legacy. So those are pretty much it as far as sources and his story. I hope you enjoy this little piece about Juan Lemon Jefferson. I ask you to please go to www.morewineandmusic.com, hit on subscribe. And also, if you wish to make a donation to the site to help keep the podcast going and keep help us to bring fresh content for the podcast, there's a donate button. And part of that proceeds, or the proceeds of the donation, will go help marginalized or low-income students who wish to go to college. I believe in giving back. So if I have it, I give back. And I think you know, giving back and helping those who are less fortunate, you know, you'll receive your blessing. So, you know, I hope, you know, I get some kind of, you know, donation to help those who are less fortunate than us. And I think you would be blessed that way. Okay, so I hope you enjoy it. Thank you for tuning in. And next week, I want to talk about, I think the next person I'm going to talk about is Charlie Patton. Charlie Patton is another interesting early blues artist who helped define the blues genre. So I will be talking about him in episode 3. So thank you, and you guys stay safe, and talk to you next week. Bye.
Soundstripe. Soundstripe. Soundstripe.